Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. My next guest is Todd Neslany. He is the Director of Culture and Strategic Leadership for Texas Elementary Principals and Supervisors Association, TEPSA, and he is an award-winning author for his books, Kids Deserve It, Stories from the Web, Sparks in the Dark, and his newest book, When Kids Lead, that was released in June 2020. He's also published a children's book, Spruce and Lucy. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Todd.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
Well, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
You know, I think any successful person can tell you there are about 1,000 times we've been in the trenches, especially as educators and then as school administrators, there's even more times. But, you know, when I really thought about how I wanted to talk about this, I think what comes to me is being in the trenches and you know, a topic that is being talked about more and more right now is mental health. Mm-hmm. And just being able to know that it is okay to take care of you. I mm-hmm. think, you know, in our field, we are such giving people and we're always thinking of others that many times we place our own needs to the side and we make excuses for why we don't take care of ourselves. But one thing I'm reminded of consistently again and again is that if you don't take care of you, you can't be good for anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so for me, over the last year or two, it's just been really my own personal journey and understanding how to take care of my physical health. And that mm-hmm. meant learning to start working out, getting a Peloton bike and actually sticking with it, mm-hmm. But also taking care of my mental health. And finally, I've been on medication now for a few weeks of dealing with anxiety. And mm-hmm. so being able to try to, I'm on my second medication for that. The first one didn't work. But, you know, it's one of those things that I don't feel like I'm out of the trench because I mm-hmm. feel like this is one thing that I'm going to be consistently working on. Mm-hmm. And as different factors come into life, there'll be different ways that I deal with it. But I think when it comes to trenches and being personal trenches, I think we all can be looking at how we can take care of ourselves better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something I've talked about with several of my guests, like Amber Harper and Brendan Teacher. And, you know, that's something I think more and more principals and school leaders have really taken time to consider, you know, how can we help our staff just take more time for themselves? And thank you for being so transparent about, you know, mental health struggles. And, you know, and I think nowadays it's like, if we need to see a therapist or we need to take medication, you know, that's just a part of going through normal life, right? There are ups and downs. And sometimes we just need, you know, some aid in that. And have you also tried some things like meditation or any of those like calming, maybe apps or routines as you begin your day?
You know, I used to think that meditation was such a hippie thing. Mm-hmm. And I have really bad ADHD too. So I was like, there is no way I'm going to be able to sit in silence or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But when I got this Peloton bike, like you get points for all kinds of stuff. And mm-hmm. one of the things is all the different classes you take. And they had meditation ones. And of course, I'm like, well, I got to get points. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and take one or two. And I love them. I especially love sleep meditations. Uh-huh. Because some nights when I can't get my brain to turn off, or I'm so hyper-focused on something, I can easily play a sleep meditation and it will actually put me to sleep and calm me down enough that I can be knocked out. So that, but as well as what you just said a minute ago, you know, I think the more we talk about these things, the more we find that there are so many people who are in mm-hmm. the same boat or on that journey and figuring out what works for them. Because for so long, we were told that self-care meant getting your nails done or taking a bubble bath or go mm-hmm. getting a massage. And it's like, those things are wonderful. And yeah. We should make time for those, but that's not going to protect your mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's interesting how like even a Peloton bike has a meditation component to it, right? Because uh-huh. the industry, you know, they want to kind of have a well-rounded mm-hmm. consumer of their bike, right? And so you can get a lot out of it. you know, I'm not taking the leap to buy one myself, but, you know, make sure I take, you know, a good walk or run and, you know, work out some throughout the week, you know, take at least that 30 to 60 minutes of exercise a day. And, you know, I wake up and use the Calm app, and I'm in a mastermind group yesterday that was talking about some, just what meditation app you use. And, you know, for those listeners that didn't know that Calm is free for educators and, you know, different people like different apps. But yeah, I know those sleep meditations help a lot of people. I usually don't have trouble falling asleep. It's kind of waking up sometimes in the middle of the night. But, you know, there's a lot of just different things out there, right, that have that industry, I think, has really taken off, both with Peloton, those home training things, but also, you know, those apps. And, you know, thanks for kind of pointing out just the need, right, to take time and really, you know, it goes beyond that. Nails and hair.
There's so many free resources. So even just getting on YouTube, there's so many videos. And there's so much out there that if you don't feel like you have the funds or the insurance, there's so many ways to begin the process.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about something that you're working on. I just saw on your social media that you're promoting some courses that are coming out in the summer, and listeners can access these at any time. So tell me a little bit about what those include and kind of the credits that listeners can get, and what kind of the content of those are.
You know, I have been working on these two courses for probably over a year now, and I do a lot of consulting and professional development. And one of the most popular things that I speak about has been improving either your school culture or your classroom culture, because I really feel like that was a very big strength of mine. It was a lot of my experience because I took over an underperforming campus. I had to work with a whole new staff that had been brought together by me. And there were all these elements that really allowed me to hone in on my strengths of building culture and practice what I preach, not just read about things and theorize and hope they would work, but actually put some into action. And I'm constantly getting questions, because building culture in your classroom or on your campus is a timeless thing. No matter what decade you're going to be teaching, it's going to be part of you being a successful educator, because we could be a fantastic teacher all day long or a fantastic principal, but if people don't want to be there, they're not going to give you their best, whether that is adults or children, it doesn't matter. And so I never really understood how I could make a course. I know there are so many courses out there and there's so many easy ways to do it, but I'm one of those big picture guys. And sometimes I need help with the little pieces. And it just so happens that one of my friends actually helps do the behind the scenes of putting it together. And I was like, well, I can create all the content. I just needed that behind the scenes help. Let's work together. And so, I'm so pumped about, you know, there's between 30 to 50 videos. I have voices from people from all over the United States. And the classroom course, there's all these teachers who share their 1 to 5 minute tips in addition to my 30 or 50 videos, 30 to 50 videos. And then in my campus course, there's all these administrators who are sharing ideas of what they do. And so, because I'm always of this mindset of, if I'm going to be given a platform, I better be amplifying the voices of others while I'm amplifying my own. And so I really wanted to bring them on, but it covers things that don't cost any money, things that you can do really easily. Yeah, there'll be some things that do cost money that you have to do, but I mean, we're in education. We all know at some point it's got to come out of our pocket to do something. But it really is a course that covers, no matter where you are on the spectrum, there are things for you. When you get the course, you have lifetime access. And so that means as I go in and edit and add more or put things in a new decade, whatever, they will be updated for you. There's never an additional fee after you purchase the course, and you get credit for doing the course as well. So you also get your continuing hours by doing that. So there's a lot of great things. I've made a lot of printables for you, PDFs. I have a whole workbook I created. So you, if you're one of those who likes to have reflection questions and things to write down, like all that's in there. We really tried to think of every single piece for every type of learner that could be involved. And it's not a, you know, oh, so I'm going to sit and watch your keynote for an hour and a half. No, it's way more than an hour and a half, number one. And number two, there are videos where I talk to you. I'm not over here just sharing ideas. Like I'm saying, you know, what do you think? Or you know what? Now you can click right here and do this activity with me and and you can pause the video and go and do that. Like all that's built in so that it's as engaging as possible. Because we know that sometimes our districts don't have the money to send us places. Sometimes our districts don't have us have money to bring people in. And so this was a nice medium for me to say, for those of you really looking to grow this, but you're on a budget, here's a great way where you can access it on your time when you need to, and it never goes away.
Yeah. And I think that's a great opportunity to people, for people to kind of have on to use on their own, or maybe for districts or schools to consider purchasing for their staff. You know, it's a kind of a self-regulated course to go through on your own time. Like you said, you get lifetime access. I really like the part you pointed out about having the workbook, because I like to have printables, right? I like to be able to follow along with my own progress and write things down. So yeah, I think that's great that you considered every type of learner in that course. And you know, at the end of the podcast, you can provide a little bit of information about where people can access that. I wanted to talk a little bit about your work as an elementary school principal. In your longer bio on your website, it talks about that you went directly from being a fourth and fifth grade teacher to getting a principal offer over a direct message on Twitter, and how you transformed that school.
You know, it's so funny because when I was in the classroom, I started sharing a lot of the journey of what we were doing in the classroom on social media. Mm-hmm. And that led to me getting recognized for a lot of things, not necessarily because my ideas were so revolutionary or better than any other educators. They weren't. There's so, every educator's out there busting their butt. And I don't for a second think that my stuff is better than theirs. But when you're putting it out there, more people are going to see it. Yeah. And so I was putting it out there. People saw it. And I had got my master's while I was teaching. They did this partnership between my school and a university where we could attend online. So my whole grade level team, actually, we all went back and got our master's. I didn't actually want to use my master's or become a principal. I just wanted to be the first person in my family with a master's, which is why I did that. But so I sat on that for a few years, got my principal certification. And then one day a Twitter direct message came through that said, "We love the work you're doing. Would you want to come work in our district?" About 30 miles up the road. And I was like, "No, I'm happy where I'm at. Like, I don't want to move districts just to move districts." And so they reached back out again and said, "Well, you know, we've got a principal opening. Would you consider coming to talk to us about that?" And I was like, "Not really. I'm happy where I'm at." And they said, "Well, you know, this is a campus that you'll get to hire the entire staff." Wow. And I was like, "Oh, well, you know, we can talk. Like, I'll come and listen." Because that's like a dream as educators, is to build your school up from like that and get to grow it. And so I went and talked with them, fell in love with their ideas about education and kids, took did the interview, got offered the position, took the job, and spent the next 5 years there. And it was a fantastic experience that grew me more than anything else I've ever done, and really allowed me to try new ideas. And it was a lot of learning. I made a lot of mistakes my first year, and things that you don't know. You know, it's one of those things that you always think you know what a position is like until you get in there.
Yeah.
When we're in college, we think we know what it's going to be like to have our own classroom. And then you get your own classroom and you're like, "Whoa, there's so much more to this." And then when you become a teacher, you think you know what the people in the front office are doing until you get that job and realize how much they're not telling you that they do or have to deal with. And you're like, "Okay, I have a new appreciation." Because, you know, my first year being a principal, I went right back to my old principal and I found her and I said, "I am so sorry. I did not tell you thank you every single day for how much you had to deal with."
And did you have some type of mentor, either that former principal or somebody in that new district that was kind of leading you and helping you along the way when you had questions about things that you had experienced before?
You know, I wish I would have had an in-person mentor, but I think that's where the huge benefit for me of social media came into play.
Okay.
Because of social media, I had connected to many other administrators, and two of my best friends that have been my best friend since I was in the classroom, one's a principal in Minnesota, the other is a principal in Michigan. And so they're two guys that we literally talk every single day through this mm-hmm. app called Voxer. And mm-hmm. so they were my go-to, and it was good though, having them, because they weren't in my district.
Yeah.
So they helped me think out of the box. They allowed me a place to vent when I was feeling broken or overwhelmed. And so it was really good for me to have that. And that's why when people ask me like, what has been the most contributor to your success? I tell them, you know, this may be hard to believe for those who are not actively interacting with others, but it's social media mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. I stopped using it as a place to just consume information and instead started utilizing it as an opportunity to connect with others on as deep a level as possible. And then when mm-hmm. I have the opportunity to meet them in person, go to those conferences and meet them in person and get to know them so that you can lean on them when things are tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's so important. A lot of educators listening to the podcast, I think, are active on Twitter. A lot of my guests I've gotten through Twitter, but you know, I didn't really see the value in it until maybe 4 years ago, and then started connecting with a lot of people, got involved with Teach Better Team, and started blogging through the, you know, just knowing about them on Twitter. And now I'm connected to a lot of the same people on Facebook and Instagram as well. But you know, I wasn't a big social media person, or I didn't want to spend the time, right? I just thought, oh, mm-hmm. you know, bad, you know, just don't want to get sucked into that vortex, right? And then you just see, you know, what people are sharing, you see what they're doing. And, you know, I understand, you know, the value that you're saying, you know, having those connections that are outside the district, right? Because that's a non-biased opinion. You know, you could be like, I have no idea how to handle the situation, but then nobody's judging it because they're not directly, you know, your supervisor or, you know, somebody that you're going to see the next day.
And, you know, I had this post that kind of went viral a couple weeks ago where I shared, you know, I think it's really important people to understand too, you need to surround yourself with people who are going to be honest with mm-hmm. you. And so when you think about your inner circle, if the only reason your inner circle exists is to make you feel good and lift mm-hmm. you up, you don't have a very good inner circle mm-hmm. because my closest friends, yes, they encourage me. Mm-hmm. Yes, they build me up. But they also tell me, Todd, you shouldn't have done that. You need to go apologize to that person. Todd, that was a bad idea. Your superintendent's right. You should have gotten in trouble for that. Or Todd, don't do that. No, it's not time yet. Because I know them, and I've allowed them into my inner circle, that they're doing it from a place of love. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important. You don't just want to have people who will tell you no or stop doing that. It's like, no, it needs to come from a place of love so that you can be willing to accept that and mm-hmm. not take it as a, oh, well, I'm offended now. It's like, no, that's why you're in my inner circle. Yeah, mm-hmm. to encourage me, but to tell me when I'm acting like a fool too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. A lot of school leaders hopefully are getting the message of just those connections through social media or masterminds. I know Teach Better Team has a mastermind. I'm in one with Danny Bauer, Better Leaders, Better Schools. But, you know, having that group of people, right, that you can kind of have, we have a hot seat every week, right? And then people bring up things, and it's not always something to do with their job directly, right? Yesterday, somebody brought up just the sort of the mental health, but also kind of the beating yourself down, right? Thinking you're not good enough aspect, right? And somebody else brought up something about their website. So it's not always necessarily like I'm having issues with parents or, you know, going from hybrid to full in person or whatever, but, you know, we can kind of hear the different aspects of just the personality and what's kind of making that person tick. So, you know, definitely. And then you get that solid advice, right, from those colleagues in that group or, you know, people that you're connected to. So you can take that with you. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your most recent book, When Kids Lead. Tell me a little bit about just what you gained from that principal role that in some of the stories, some of the ideas that you brought into the writing of the book.
Well, you know, this book came out in the middle of a pandemic, which is mm-hmm. the worst time to launch a book because you can't get out and talk about it. But it has done really well and really connected to people because I got to write it with one of my favorite people on the planet, Adam DeVico. Mm-hmm. He's an educator, leader, coach in North Carolina. We all do the Get Your Lead On conference together. And so he and I, for a few years now, have been working on this Get Your Lead On conference. And we've been mm-hmm. working on campus aspiring and district leaders and growing them to be their best selves. Mm-hmm. And we've got to do a lot of in-person and virtual events with people from all over the world. And as we continue to do this work, Adam and I found that both of us were doing a lot of these leadership skills with kids too, But nobody ever really talks about how to build leadership in all of our kids. We have so many books and workshops and cycles that focus on leadership in adults. But where's that in the kids? And you know, when Adam and I really started breaking down what we were doing on our individual campuses, we were already doing a lot of that stuff. So it's the perfect avenue for us to say, let's write a book about this. Let's get this out there to hopefully inspire others to see it doesn't matter what your role is, whether you are a parent, a random adult, a teacher, a principal, a coach, the lunch person, it doesn't matter what your role is. You play a part in these kids' lives and growing them up to be leaders. Introverts, extroverts, any of that. We cover all of it in the book and talk about how you can do it campus-wide, at home, in your classroom. And it's been so much fun to see it really connect and resonate with people because, you know, sometimes you have great ideas in your own head or that you're doing in your environment and you're like, is anybody else even going to care about this? But it's really done, it's really resonated with people. So we've had a blast getting to share that out there.
And what are some of your ideas maybe that you were...
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Worked with at the school that you led in just students taking on leadership opportunities and having them grow that might not be just the typical like leadership group, especially for elementary school, because, you know, we have a lot of leadership opportunities for kids at high school and some at middle school, but tell me what some of your students did that were kind of outside the box.
So some of this may take much deeper explanation, but it's in the book. So if I share something and you're like, that's interesting, how'd you do that? It's all in the book, but I'm not going to spend an hour and a half talking about it here. But, you know, some of my favorite things were we moved away from parent-teacher conferences and instead they became student-led conferences. And that is from kindergarten up because there is nothing more adorable than a six-year-old leading a parent conference. We had social media interns where the students on our campus ran all of the social media for our school. They posted on our school Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, Snapchat, all of that. Our kids ran it. So we didn't have to worry about it. And we got their perspective of what was awesome on school. We have what we call in every one of our classrooms as a classroom greeter. And so anytime an adult comes to that room, whether to visit or drop something off, there is one student's responsibility to jump up, greet the person, tell them what they're learning about right then, and invite them in to join in on the fun. We had hallway greeters. We had school ambassadors. So when people would come to visit our school or tour or potentially consider enrolling their students, I didn't give a tour as the principal. I went and found one of my ambassadors we had trained. They gave a student tour of the entire campus. And then that kid now, that new student, has already a connection with another kid on campus. And the kid on campus is already getting that public speaking and talking about things in conversation. And so what I love too about the book though, is like I said earlier, it's not just a book that is tailored towards extroverts because Adam is an extreme extrovert. Like he can have a conversation with anybody. What a lot of people don't believe about me is I'm an extreme introvert. Like, yeah, I can bring out the attitude and the personality on stage in an interview, things like that. But then as soon as I'm done, like I need like an hour in a dark room with a bottle of water and light music, like leave me alone. I need to refuel. And then I have to go be sociable. Then I need to refuel. And so for me, it was really important that in the book, we also continue to discuss how do you get those kids who haven't yet found their voice, who don't feel comfortable, who may never feel comfortable standing in front of others to speak. And that's okay, because leadership is not the loudest person, and leadership is not the person who is always at the front. Leadership looks different all the time. And so that's why anybody is a leader.
Yeah. And I talked to you in the pre-chat about, you know, I helped get together a group of students who were more kind of peer mentors, right, at a middle school. And a lot of them were eighth graders, but the kids that had gone through some rougher times, right, in the beginning of their middle school time, and, you know, that they were helping those kids out who were kind of those high flyer disciplined kiddos. And I think we can build on those kids, you know, who've kind of had past experiences and who might still screw up from time to time, but kind of, you know, they know the ropes of the school. I really liked how you included that classroom reader, because, you know, as an administrator going around and observing different classes, right, I think that's an idea I'd like to implement, because, you know, any level you could have a student just, you know, get up and say, hey, Miss or Mr. So-and-so, this is what we're doing. And, you know, thank you for coming and, you know, welcoming to the class. That's great.
And the instruction never has to stop.
Yeah.
And the class can keep going. Focus can still be where it needs to be. But when the person comes in the room, they still feel important too. So.
Mm-hmm. And then as well, that the school ambassador, I've been at a couple interviews where mostly it's at the high school level. You'll have those students who walk you around the campus. But I think, you know, as you said, at any level, you know, have the students who have been trained and you know how to answer some questions, or, you know, if they don't know all the answers, they could get back with you, you know, and ask somebody in the main office. But, you know, that way, you know, the principal can do the work that's important of being at the school. But, you know, you're still going to meet that family. You're still going to meet with people that are interviewing, obviously, but have the students, you know, because that way, if somebody's interviewing or somebody's prospectively wanting to enroll their child at the school, you see somebody who is actually a student there, somebody who's actually, you know, part of the community rather than just one or two administrators or somebody like that. So I think those are great ideas. Tell me a little bit about some of your work that you're currently doing. You said some of your speaking at conferences is kind of fallen by the wayside because we're not so much in person yet with conferences, but you've been consulting with schools and districts worldwide, and I thought that was really interesting. And if you have a story about an international school experience, kind of how they've kind of taken your material and run with it, because some of those schools, you know, run very differently than schools in the U.S.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. During this, when this pandemic started, it upheaved everybody. And so all of my presentations over the last year have been virtual. I do have in-person stuff coming up, so that's exciting. I got my second vaccination shot and I already had my side effects. So I'm excited to see that put into play and feel life start to get back to normal. But it's been fun getting to do some virtual too, because I've got to work with people who would not have been able to bring me in person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I have to do the call at 2 a.m. in the morning. Like when I worked with India, it was a 2 a.m. Call with them to do some work. But to me, it's I love pouring into others. And so it's been cool for me. And my boys, my two twin boys, were not here yet when this was happening. So I wasn't as tired as I'm sure I am now. But, you know, it's funny because what I've learned by working with schools overseas is they're not so different, but they are. Yeah. And so there's so many things that are the same. I mean, kids are kids. But there's so many things that other areas of the world are dealing with as barriers that we are blessed in the United States to not have in our way. And we don't see those blessings because we're not connecting with others. And I think that's, again, where that whole idea of getting on social media and connecting to people worldwide has given me a much deeper perspective over the things we've been given from where we are and utilizing those, but also being aware of how we can help others by what we've been given. And so whether that means I worked with an educator in India, and she said, you know, Todd, she said, we're virtual right now, but it doesn't matter. None of my kids have Wi-Fi. I could give every one of them a device. None of them would be able to use it. So we have to figure out how we can drive a truck out so these two kids can have Wi-Fi for an hour and then drive that truck over here, but they don't have electricity. So we're working with this, or I work with another, I worked with another school in South Africa where it was kind of the idea of our parents have said, if they're not going to be in person, they're not helping at home. So how do we work with that? And so really just thinking about the different challenges and getting to know cultures, because there's a lot of cultural intricacies that come into play that being a white middle-class American, I'm not aware of unless I educate myself and I look at my own biases and my own upbringing. And, you know, that's a big conversation here in the States, but it also plays into the way other parts of the world are looking at us. And, you know, with all the political upheaval we've had in our own country, that also has changed some of the perspective of other countries and what they have of Americans. And so we have a lot of those different conversations, but it's really been a powerful tool to have in my tool chest.
And, you know, kind of consulting with those various schools worldwide, it's kind of like having your own experience of traveling to those countries, because, you know, you could spend a month in India, right? But you're also learning just from working over this period of several months with schools there and, you know, seeing kind of hearing about their stories. You're maybe not living it, but, you know, and you know, like we know that we're privileged. I mean, we had a lot of infrastructure issues getting Wi-Fi to certain areas. And luckily, at the time of recording, we're towards the end of the 2021 school year, and most of the schools have gone back to some in-person setting. But like you're saying, there are places in the world where it's not safe. And, you know, kids are, you know, they're in remote areas where there's no electricity. So, you know, having somebody like you to kind of help those teachers and educators through just some of their wonderings, right? I think that's key. And how are you feeling like it's going for some of these educators where it's kind of been, you've had that up and down? I know in Europe currently, you know, they're experiencing a new wave of COVID, and how has it been for them to kind of, you know, shut down and then go remote again for these longer periods of time over it's sustained? And how are they, like, I don't know, are they coming up with a lot of new ideas? And I know a lot of them have a longer school year than we do as well.
Well, you know, it's everybody's doing the best they can.
And I
think that speaks for every educator anywhere. And if you are in education right now, you know, everybody's working their tail off and doing the best they can. I think one of the consistent complaints or feeling down from educators overseas is they see how many of our citizens are getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
How many of our citizens are in that process? How many vaccinations? Where worldwide, that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because, you know, the virus hit us so hard because of so few things we were doing that was recommended by scientific officials. But we also had the means and wherewithal to produce this vaccine as quickly as possible, where other countries are really struggling with that or can't get to it. And so they're normal is not headed back in that direction as quickly as some of our normals maybe.
And I see that as well, having a lot of friends in Norway and, you know, not knowing if we can travel to Europe this summer still, right? We're just you know, and that's kind of the privilege that we have, right, with the vaccine, and it's good that we're you know, the numbers are going down here, but just kind of having that empathy for our colleagues and children across the world, right, that are probably going to be dealing with the pandemic a lot longer, at least in active, you know, circulation, right? So, so you told me in the pre-chat, you don't have any books in the works, but the online course is coming out. And then when people sign up for the course or when it's available, do they just access your website and then there'll be some type of a link there to, go into the course.
If you just go to toddnesloney.com, not only can you find access to my speaking, my books, my blog, everything, there'll also be a tab there for the course, so you can easily get access to that as well.
Okay. And out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
You know, I don't think it's necessarily what I talked about, but anytime I'm given a platform, one thing that I always want to make sure people understand is I feel like if you're here listening to this conversation, you are meant to be here for a reason. And so if you're listening right now and you're thinking, I don't know what that reason is, maybe it was what I'm about to say next. And that is, my biggest goal in any kind of presentation or speaking or anytime I work with kids or adults is to make sure that I don't leave that space without letting the people that were in that space know how valuable they are, how unique your voice is, how special it is what you bring to the table, how you deserve a seat at that table, regardless of who tells you otherwise. And if you can't see that goodness in yourself, find those people who will remind you of it, because you were put here for a reason. You bring something nobody else does, and our world and our field of education is better when you use the brilliance that you've been given and share it out loud with others.
Wow, I think those are such powerful words to hear as a end to our chat today. You know, that's so important to remember. So you've mentioned your website. Where else can people follow you online? What type of social media platforms are you on?
You know, if the social media exists, I'm on it, except for TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. I just, I can't, but I am on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm Tech Ninja Todd, but all of it's linked from my website, toddnessaloni.com as well. So.
Great, great. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. And thank you for the invite.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, and if this episode resonates especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.